I want to take just a moment this morning to honor those who have taken their place in our military forces. How many here this morning have been in the military? Just stand up if you have. I want you to give a hand to these people who have given so much. I can only live through or vicariously through those who have been. And I can remember when a friend of mine came back from Vietnam and we were riding in the car and our car backfired and it was just that quick that he was down on the floorboard of my car. I was two numbers from going to Vietnam. And I was so thrilled that I was 151 and not 149. Just after realizing all of my friends who went, and as they came back with these amazing stories, and the fear that enveloped in their lives, is I take my hat off. And I honor you today. We honor you today for the great service that you have given to us and our country. Just recently, I've been spending some time... Oops, I guess I need to come up the other way. Spending some time in the book of John, as most of you know, that's my favorite book. Every time I get into it, there is something new. And you didn't like it? I'm blind. I need as close as I can get it. As I've gone through, it just overwhelmed me this past couple of 3 weeks. As I was studying in the experience of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. As I have been looking at this, and it's interesting to see how Jesus engages this woman. And then it took me to a new place of how Jesus actually engages people. And it's usually not by the terms and the ways that we do it in giving an evangelistic series and giving our fundamental message and then people accept the information and become baptized. But Jesus very seldom just gave information. He always asks a question. And if you will turn to chapter 4 of John, I want to look at verses 21 through 24 this morning. It's rather interesting, just before we move into that, Jesus draws her in to this experience of what we're looking at today in worship. He asks, "Can I have a drink of water?" And then they move into living water. And then Jesus decides it's time to bring it home for this lady. And he embarrasses her somewhat by asking her how many she has, or telling her how many husbands that she has. And it's interesting the transition that takes place is she's embarrassed. So quickly she moves to a whole other subject. And where this came up, I don't know in her thinking. But she moves into, "Well, you seem like a prophet to me." We've heard about this man that's coming. Supposedly the Messiah. We worship here on Mount Gerizim, and you Jews, worship down in Jerusalem. And then Jesus moves to the heart of the matter. It's ironic how we ask questions and then Jesus comes back and hits us right at the heart of our being. Read with me from 21 to 24. Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it is here now, when, and I want you to circle a couple of words, get your pens out, when, I want you to circle the word true. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The other one I want you to circle is spirit. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. With just an overreading of that, and many of us have read it many times, sometimes we miss the implication that is behind this amazing story. Have you ever asked yourself if you are a true worshiper of God? How do you know you're a true worshiper? If there's a true worshiper, there must be one that maybe looks like they're a true worshiper. Something that's close. I've asked myself the question, am I a true worshiper of God or not? Because it says here that that's who God is looking for. And so today I wanted to help us define, look at, search out what that means. Because I think it has relevance for us today because of its intent of what the Father is looking for. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for them. I want us to just quickly go over to Philippians chapter 3. Paul, I think, gets an understanding of this. If there is one who has transitioned from a certain kind of worship to this new worship that the Father is looking for, I think it's Paul, and he gets the picture here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly, what? Circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Paul defines to some degree what that experience is like. For we who worship by Spirit, the Spirit of God, are the ones who are truly, and if you will, let me add, spiritually circumcised. Then it tells us who those are. We rely upon Christ Jesus for what He has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. What's confidence in human effort? What's confidence in human effort? What kind of effort does that look like? What does human effort look like to us? Have you ever made these comments? I'm so tired today, I'm not sure. I just really want to be around people, so I think I'm going to go hide in the mountains. You ever said that before? Being in Portland, I used to say, I need a break, so I'm just going to head out to the beach. My favorite place. I'm exhausted, so I think I'm just going to sleep in a couple, three more hours. And then finally, you discover that you've been taking personal ministry time all day long. What is human effort? It's something you have to work at. And how many times do we come to church, we sit in the pew, and it just becomes this amazing ritual that happens week after week after week? Have you ever experienced that? Where it's just something we do out of habit. We go through the motion. We go through the experience of following through what we think that we've always done. What is this woman learning from Jesus about worship? And what is true worship? It's an interesting thing. Paul says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. It's an interesting follow-through. We rely on what Jesus comes for us, which tends to take us into a new experience of this thinking, as we rely on Him right when we wake up and go to church on Saturday morning. Or does something proceed? Rely on. Yeah. Rely on, to me, puts into our minds and our hearts this determination that we have an experience outside of this one day a week that translates into 7 days a week. Because if you come to church expecting to receive, then you're probably coming out of the course of human effort. Because worship is not out of human effort. If you're coming to receive, you're coming to fill an empty spot in your life, and that's not what worship's all about. What is worship? Do you think when we'll go to heaven, that we're going to sit and just receive? What is worship? What is true worship? What is the worship that God is asking of us to give back to Him today? It's interesting to look at the words for worship in Philippians chapter 3. They actually come from two separate words in the Greek. That first word is to be a servant or to serve and to pay homage to. That doesn't kind of fit into our picture of church, that we come to serve. I can remember my own experience sitting in a church there in Portland, Oregon, that I would sit in the balcony. And my experience was to write out basketball plays for the coming week. And maybe the next week I would bring some paper and I would draw what I thought my future home should look like. And my mind was off in all kinds of directions, and the pastor probably was giving an amazing sermon, but my mind did not engage and connect with what I was there for. The problem is I know so many other people who are in that same frame of thinking. And I don't know about you, I'm one who wants to change that picture, and especially in my own life. But to serve means that we come to church with a whole different concept of mind, that when I walk through the door, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve each person that is part of this community of faith. And I've never quite grasped that experience of just coming into the express congregation to serve them, to honor them, to respect them. The second part of this word worship in Philippians, this other word means to boast of a person with joy and exaltation. But there's only one who gets to receive that, and that's God. But the both of these words that are made up is for us to bow down, to prostrate ourselves on the floor in honor and adoration. And what I discovered is when we come to serve as people, it's ironic, as the psalmist says, as we cast our bread upon the water, it does what? It comes back to us. The more that we give away, the more that God gives us. And I'm not necessarily talking monetarily. I'm talking emotionally and spiritually. I know that in my life I have fallen off of the course but I would have to say my understanding had not been developed to its full extent. When I come to worship now, I've already come because God has filled my cup prior to Sabbath. If you come just to meet on Saturday morning, then you're probably coming out of works. If God has not filled you through the course of the rest of the week, then you haven't come with a full cup to give Him the proper respect and honor that He deserves. True worshipers are so full that they come with thanksgiving and adoration, and they give completely, never to receive, but to give. God's highest praise is that we, or God's highest glory is that we praise Him, that we give to Him. And what is ironic is, back in this story, in John chapter 4, God confronts her. And he hits her with this obedience thing. How many husbands do you have and the one you're now living with? And because she is so overwhelmed, she switches it. But he confronts her. How many of you, for the first time in your life, if you've met somebody, are so excited about the experience of that first meeting that you go tell the rest of your friends? How many of us, in the process of this journey, get so excited about what has happened? Because what has happened here for this woman is her life is totally transformed and changed. And what Jesus is trying to tell her, it isn't an issue about whether you're on Mount Gerizim or whether it's in Jerusalem. A time is coming and is now that you worship in your heart where you are. If God hasn't filled your cup throughout the week, then you're coming kind of empty. If God hasn't done some amazing things to transform your life throughout that week, then what do you have to come to church for? Where do we go? And all of a sudden, we kind of see this flat line in our experience. We have this wonderful entrance experience with God, and all of a sudden, we flatline. Do you know why we flatline? It's because we keep looking for something new, something more exciting, and it's just like this life we live in. We get something new and unique, and 24 hours later, there's something to top that. And it just gets more and more. And our appetite has been taught and trained that we have to have something new in order to keep our energy level up with God. But see, what makes the transforming life is in when God is changing your life every day. We're comfortable in where we're at. We're happy for who we are. But God says, I want to see you up here, but we're still comfortable down here. And Paul says, I want to change you, but you have to change the way you think. And the only way that we can change the way we think is when God is transforming and changing us into something special. And when He changes us, when we claim victory over something that was difficult in the middle of our week, we are so thrilled and excited because we are moving that much closer to Him. And every day needs to be a new experience so that when we come, our heart is so full that we just offer gratitude and praise because He's not satisfied with just the ordinary. The problem with us so many times is that what Rick Warren has stated in referring to Romans 12, 1 to 3, is that we become living sacrifices. He says the problem with living sacrifices is the living sacrifice can slide off of the altar. How is the world going to know our amazing Savior if there is no transformation in our life? If there is no something that we can be so thrilled that He's changing? How is it then that we can just come to worship week after week without some dramatic, powerful influence that God says, I'm working with you. You're becoming more like me. God's greatest joy is then when He receives our praise. God's greatest experience is when we fall before Him and worship Him. And what we have to worship about is our life is being changed. It's time to move out of this Laodicea experience. We bring glory to God because we're becoming more like Him, not less. Becoming spiritually mature means, which means becoming like Jesus in every way we think, feel, and act. I have to confess, there are some times that I have not acted like Jesus. I have not felt like Jesus. And I haven't thought like Jesus because I've allowed other things to control my experience. The heart of worship, as we discovered back in Philippians 3, is when we surrender our life totally and completely to Him. You know what the problem with that is? Faith. Faith. Let me share another word with you that's similar to that. Faith. Trust. No. Faith. If you believe enough in Him that He can do what He says, then He can change your life. And then you have something to offer up as a sacrifice of praise. God doesn't care about the other 100,000 in the sense of trying to lump us all together. He cares about us individually on that journey with Him that we will be transformed people. That we are people who live with power. That when we pray, the prayer is answered. When we trust that reality takes place in God working through our experience. The heart of worship is to surrender, which means that we live the rest of our life expecting God to change us day by day. But what that means then, that we need to change our priorities, our schedules, and we may even have to change some of our relationships. We have to change everything. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made for my glory, it was I who created them," which is you and I. We were created for His glory. And there are times we wake up and we don't feel very glorious or feel like being part of this relationship. And like Rick says, we who are living sacrifices have slipped off of the altar. Worship is our first responsibility to God. And too many times, it is our second, third, and fourth responsibility. Worship needs to be a lifestyle. Loving Him, giving ourselves to Him, to be used for His purpose. The word Spirit is a beautiful word. Pneumos. It is used many different times in Scripture. But one that has really come close to me lately is when I went back to Genesis 1 and 2, where God breathed life into us. God breathed Himself into us. And we became a living being. But that living being made its way into every fiber and every pore, and like the wind, it just is going through our body. And the Spirit is life. It is the abundant energy that carries us on. See, Jesus every day touched somebody's life. There wasn't a day that He didn't see that there was an opportunity to share His Father to them. And He walks by a well. later in the day when nobody should have been there, and he sits down while the disciples go in and get food. And there he is. And a lady comes up, and he knew he never missed an opportunity to touch somebody's life. He was worshiping every day. What was so neat is the transformation that took place in this lady put him on this whole level that he had food the disciples didn't even know of. Are you living in such a way that you have food that so inspires you, energizes you, that you don't need every day food on a plate? That's what worship's all about. Giving away to somebody else. And you don't have to give them the whole book. Jesus didn't do that. But she was coming to the water, so she had a need. And so he talked to her about water and shared with her living water. Transforming water. Just in making relationships. If you want to change your worship style, connect with people. Share the gospel. Find out their need. And say, I know somebody who I want to introduce you to that can be your bread of life. That can be your living water. That can be all that you need. You don't have to worry about Mount Gerizim or the temple. You can worship 24/7, 365. I challenge you to go home and see how much time you actually give to this relationship with the Father. Sit down. 5, 10, 15, half an hour in the morning. Maybe some at night. We segment our time so that we can complete everything. If we allow God to come in and work with our time, we will have more time than we know what to do with. And more time. Next time we share together, I'm going to share what this woman discovered in her personal life that caused her to change your worship forever. That's next time. Changed her worship forever. We have to look at it because the same thing can happen to us and it will change our worship forever. It'll change us. Seek. God seeks worshipers who are willing to be obedient in the process of surrendering their lives completely, 100%. Now, some things that I've shared with you this morning might just go over your head. But if you're not happy with your life, if it's not full, if you don't have something that just energizes you each and every week, then you need to evaluate your worship. You need to evaluate your experience. Because guess what, folks? There is something out there that will change your life. And if you thought you had it at one time and it's gone, you didn't have the full package. God wants to give you the full package. He wants to change you and change me so that when we come in to this physical building of worship, that we will have so much, we will have so much that it just spills over in gratitude and adoration. Is that the way you come to worship? Just full to share with Him, to give your best to Him? That's what He's waiting for. You're going to want to hear the next one. Because it was life-changing for her and for a whole town. and it'll change you if you buy in and trust Him to make that happen in your life. Heavenly Father, we're here for one purpose, and that's to make special your day. So it is from our hearts that we honor you. We pour out our praise so that we may worship you. There are so many people who are vying for worship in our lives. So many things. So much. But Father, we want to refocus and reproject our worship on you who deserve it. Lord, we want to be transformed and changed. Let us start today. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless. Touch another's life in Christ this week. Share your story with somebody else who is thirsty.